SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on SportsGrid, the early line. It's hour number two on a Wednesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Yesterday, the NBA main event, certainly Heat Celtics. But before that, a little prelim action, if you will. The NBA's draft lottery. This was won by the Orlando Magic, who will now pick first overall in this upcoming draft. The top five rounded out in order. Orlando, Oklahoma City, Houston, Sacramento, and then the Detroit Pistons checked in with that fifth overall selection. Hey, Donnie, do you have any interest in the draft lottery? People were able to bet this yesterday. The starting price there was plus 550. The Magic jumping up to the number one spot there, I believe, was a bit of an upset overall. But it was obviously a huge day for Orlando Magic basketball. It's always a big day whenever you can land the one seed.
Yeah, I wasn't paying much attention because the Sixers aren't involved in it when, quite frankly, this was my favorite night of the year for about five straight years was where were the Sixers actually pick in the lottery, which we don't have that much fun anymore to try to check out. But I know it is a big deal. When you are a fan base and you suffer, Kevin, all season long, when you know that your franchise is basically telling you, we're here to lose games. You can't enjoy any one of those 82 games. And quite frankly, even in the city of brotherly love, over those years where the Sixers were tanking, we would watch basketball games praying that the Sixers would get blown out because our only salvation would be getting a high draft pick or somebody that's going to be able to change the or alter the franchise here. So good on those teams yesterday, like the Orlando Magic. I know they're going to be able to pick a decent player. Looks like, I guess, the big three, as we like to say, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith Jr. We'll see how those teams shake out there. But if you're in the lottery, it's fun for your organization. But outside of that, most people probably don't pay too much attention to that.
Yeah, you know, you always wonder what's the crossover between the college basketball fans' investment, right, in that situation. But at that point, probably, you know, again, like, if you look at it, the top of that draft, those top three guys, Jabari's 1 year at Auburn, Chet's 1 year at Gonzaga, Paolo Banchero, of course, just the 1 year at Duke. I said Orlando was an upset. It was they weren't the worst team in the NBA, but if you know, they have the bottom three teams all have the same percentage points, so they were all plus 550. If you went out there and you basically went across the board on those teams that were plus 550, obviously that would have worked out nicely there for you on the Orlando Magic. What I think's very interesting, though, is, and even if you don't follow the draft closely, I think a lot of people know that Chet Holmgren was the star of this class, and there was always an expectation that Chet was going to go number one overall. But Jabari started to jump past him, obviously had himself a good year at Auburn. He's an exciting pro prospect. What I thought was very interesting, though, was the fact that Jabari Smith went from plus 100 to minus 130 because the Orlando Magic won the draft lottery. My read on that is that more people were betting it than, oh, the Orlando Magic are some obvious fit for Jabari Smith, as if they have anything on the roster that would stop them from drafting a Chet Holmgren. But the other thing, DRS, I think we could offer people a cautionary tale from the NFL draft, just because a guy's a minus money favorite now certainly does not mean, Aiden Hutchinson, that they're going to go number one overall.
No, it certainly doesn't mean that. And this is where the silly games start, right? Because you're going to have like NBA camps open up. Not NBA camps, excuse me, draft camps open up. And some of these guys will move up and down. And also, you're going to get these guys taking individual, you know, pathways to teams where people are going to want to work out Banchero, want to work out Holmgren, bring them into their cities, throw smoke screens out there. Ow, we never even wanted to bring Paolo Banchero in, even though we have the number one overall pick. Meanwhile, that's the guy that they probably, and also keep in mind, when you have a, I don't say a topsy-turvy top three here. It's not the right word to use, but you don't have a clear-cut, defined number one overall pick. This is fun because remember a couple years ago, the Boston Celtics did fleece the Philadelphia 76ers, which they wanted to trade up and get Markelle Fultz. Didn't work out so well. Maybe you have one of those scenarios here, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Now, we'll bring the radio audience in. Everyone's tuning in. It's Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 159, the early line, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. I mean, Celtics fans should have no problem being honest about the fact that everybody, it was pretty consensus that Markelle Fultz was going to be the best player in that class. Like, Celtics fans were not over the moon about that trade, really, kind of when it happened there, because they're like, Markelle Fultz was supposed to be our guy. Obviously, it did not pan out that way, but it is a good point. I'm sure the Orlando Magic are going to take some phone calls there. Maybe they think, hey, listen, it's a three-man class. You had some, because like, who are the Orlando Magic to be like, just, you know, We can't use some additional pieces if that is offered up to them. The other thing, though, now that the order is set, anticipate a lot more of the markets coming available, right? It's the same thing with the NFL draft. With the NFL draft, listen, they can post. They have number one overall picks for the NFL draft for next year's draft, right? They can hang number one overalls. They were hanging, you know, this market's been around for a good while now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the additional stuff that starts to come in. I'll tell you this, the early read, Chet Holmgren seems to be an absolute lock to go top two. Whether it's Orlando or it's Oklahoma City, he's not going to fall anywhere past that while having a slight chance to go number one overall to the Orlando Magic. The other thing I would take a look at here, though, is could Paolo Banchero be a faller? Now, not by a lot, right? But Paolo's obviously booked as the third man here. If all of a sudden they hung him at a 3.5, could he possibly just dip outside of that? You know, would Sacramento stop the bleeding? You know, we all know that they would love to make a mistake there. But could the Rockets be interested in a Jaden Ivey, who was fantastic out of Purdue, pair him with a Jalen Green, and basically have what would all of a sudden be the NBA's most explosive backcourt? Excited to watch those pile up on the FanDuel Sportsbook there. The NBA draft, always exciting. We're coming up against the break here, and when we come back, it is a full slate of Major League Baseball on a Wednesday. Can the Yanks stay hot? Tough scene if you laid the 1.5, or Aroldis Chapman might lose his job as a closer. So much to get into, and it's all coming up next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fighting through the elements here on the Early Line. Listen, you got this nice little battery pack. It does its job, man. Look, I'm breaking kayfabe, Donnie. I'm breaking kayfabe. And every so often, it just dies, right? But it still works. So I can still hear you. But it sounds like, I don't know, I guess it would sound like maybe Darth Vader screaming in my ear. We're just battling through, though, DRS. We're battling through. We'll make it through.
Maybe that's my real voice, though.
You think so? Is that how you? No,
like, that's
no,
my
it's
real
not.
Voice. Now, let... Yeah. Now, yeah, we could throw it back to me because I'd like to get in on this a little bit. Hold on. I know he wants to talk here. Like, maybe I sound like Darth Vader, but let me tell you guys something out there in the Twitter sphere or watching us live, whether it's on the Sports Grid Network here, YouTube, wherever. We would like to hear, like, we need to have a groundswell here if we want to hear Kevin's real voice on the air. Like, that's what we want to hear, isn't it?
No. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. I think this guy needs to go away and let it be. It's nothing but slander.
Now, can you even hear me at this point? Can you even hear me at this point?
No. Here's the thing. One, I can hear you. Two, I wasn't talking about your voice. And three, and what a stand-up job out of you. You get told behind the scenes, right? Hold it down so we can fix this thing. And you just ask me a question right away? I mean, can you follow
Because you just keep talking in the background. No, this is how it plays out live on the air. So are we going to go? Am I going to have center stage here? Or is Kev going to be here? Who's going to let me know that?
Nobody.
Nobody's letting
me
know.
I'll tee you up. Hold on. I'll tee you up, ready? Because you can't do it without me. We're all seeing it play out live in real time. Braves Brewers. Now, listen, hold on a minute. Everyone needs me here. It's Corbin Burns and it's Max Fried. I'm gonna say something I can't believe I'm saying. The 6.5 looks high. Is that possible? Are you allowed to have a take that 6.5 looks high here? But that's my read when I see Burns and Fried on the mound today. What's your takeaway? How are you lining this game up?
Yeah, we keep it real simple in this one. When I write down notes on some of these games just to like get my attention back on what's going to take place in this game, I wrote one simple word on here, Kevin, and that was the word under, because if we take a look at Corbin Burns, a 3.06 xFIP number on the season, 33.5% K rate per batter coming up, which means, yes, a third of the batters that come up don't even put the baseball in play, walking less than 5% of the batters that he's faced. You know I love numbers here, like weighted on base percentage and also ISO power numbers. Take a look at the weighted on base percentages here for Corbin Burns. He's a right-handed pitcher, and to lefties, a 279. Sensational. To righties, a 203. Even better. ISO power numbers, 125 and a 147 between lefties and righties. Absolutely sensational stuff. So, let's flip it over here and take a look at and see how the batters are going to fare when Max Fried is on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Probably not much better here, Kevin. Mm-hmm. A 3.17 xFIP, 24% of the batters coming up to the plate he's striking out. How about this? Weighted on base percentage between lefties and righties, a 169 and a 276. And if you're looking at lefty on lefty crime out there, Kevin, which you're going to get some lefty bats up here, particularly Christian Yelich. How about Max Fried's 0 ISO power number when dealing with left-handed batters? Tremendous breakdown. I hope you're able to hear that.
I mean, listen, I heard next to none of it, but here's what I imagine it sounded like. Kevin, great point on that total. I hardly can add anything else. It was such a good point by you, and I like under 6.5. Is that what it sounded like? Did you like the under? Did you like a team total? Just I want to know for my own sake.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of talking and me hitting the cough button here to try to clear my throat, but I made it through that entire segment there just fine. So that's how that one went.
You've been having a tough morning. I mean, you really want to talk about breaking kayfabe. What's going on over there?
The good part about it is I don't know, because when I hold the cough button down, you're not supposed to hear me. Yeah. Sometimes on the radio, you can slightly hear me. I mean, you might think it's down here like I've been lifting weights for the past 4 hours. Like, I don't know. It's pollen. It's this time of the season. I don't know. Wow. It's striking me down today. If this was a solo show, there'd be a lot of, hey, run a commercial here, pal. Help me out.
I got to tell you something, though. If you see, as you folks don't know everything about DRS, let me take a guess here. You've got bad allergies and take no allergy medicine. Am I right?
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much. Pretty much.
Do you take the allergy medicine? Yes or
yeah,
no?
But it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me. Like, is it Nasacort? What's the stuff that you just, you know, you have the blast and you like each nostril? It doesn't even help me at all. Nothing helps.
Stop using that.
I haven't been able to breathe since 1998. I don't know what it is, but it's just
get Allegra or Claritin. What are you doing?
That ain't helping me,
using
man.
Nasal spray like it's 1437. What year is
I'm going
it?
For the
are
CPAP
you crazy?
Soon. That stuff doesn't help me, man.
No, yeah.
Breathing is not one of my strengths here, so.
I didn't know it could be a weakness, though. I didn't know. Man. You talk about pros and cons of what Donnie brings to the table. Breathing, not one of them. Good to know.
Not
here's one thing
them.
He is good at, though. Breaking down Rays Tigers. Oof, man, that's a transition. Rasmussen, everybody knows him as the Moose. Eduardo Rodriguez, it's a 6.5 here when the Moose is going up against the Tigers. I mean, what are we liking here? It's a minus 180 range number on the Tampa Bay Rays. Detroit, sneaky terrible. Sneaky because nobody cares about the Detroit Tigers. That was ugly. I don't know why I did that. But it's true.
Man.
It's true. What do you think of your Rays Tigers?
Yeah, at least we don't have to go over any guy's name Adoldis in this game, but we could take a look at Rasmussen on the mound at this point.
Adoldis!
An XFIP, there you go. 4.12 XFIP. Look, he should really be able to get through this Detroit lineup because this is when, and everybody forgets so quickly here. What was the next high-rising team in Major League Baseball you had to watch out for? Boy, those Tigers really put together some things that they are terrible at the plate. So if we take a look at a guy like Rasmussen, 56 batters from the left-hand side that he faced, a 267 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 059, and you flip it over to the right-hand side, 207 and a 123 coupled with that ISO power number. Look at this line. I love every day. This is never going to change because typically they say, hey, it's been a bad April. It's been a bad May. Maybe it's a bad entire baseball season here for the Tigers because sometimes you get these numbers saying they just can't hit left-handed pitching, and there's not that much left-handed pitching in Major League Baseball. But this is a right-hander going up against the Tigers. Every single player on this team, ISO power number-wise, under a 175. Every single player on this baseball team outside of Miguel Cabrera at a 337 weighted on base percentage is below that. I don't know where the runs come today, and I know you're going to pay a price here, obviously, for the Tampa Bay Rays, but they're not losing this game to the Tigers any way, shape, or form.
I think the Rays team total is legit. So I love when you know spots like this pop up here, right? Because this is a team that has history against Eduardo Rodriguez for all his years spent in Boston. There's guys with good numbers. Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena. There's guys that have hit him before. 3.5 at home. And again, like if you like the Rays to win this baseball game, right? Now, again, I know they can win it 3-1. You know, 2-0. I understand that, but boy, is that's low scoring baseball here. I think that getting the chance for the Rays 3.5, but by the way, not really juiced either. Not really juiced. Yeah. -114. I think that is a really, really solid price there. By the way, is this the lowest team total we've seen all year? Detroit at 2.5. I mean, is that the lowest one that we've seen so far? This 2.5? I mean, who's on the mound? Jacob DeGrom? What's the deal?
I mean, it might as well be at this point, especially there at the Trop. So if you're going to have dead baseballs play in the Trop and go against a good pitcher with a trash lineup, you get 2.5s out there. Sometimes we talk about principal plays. Like, some feels like you can stumble in the 3 runs. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, two walks in the first thing by Rasmussen and a double in the gap. You got 2 already. And you're sweating that over the next 8 innings. Like, I can get 1 run, maybe or maybe not. That's incredible stuff to think about. But that's where we are here in 2022.
Like the bottom 5 lineups in Major League Baseball, right? White Sox 126 scored, Royals, which is crazy. This is descending order. Royals 123, Orioles 120, Pirates 119, and then there's the Detroit Tigers at 104 runs scored. I mean, listen, folks, there's some tapes out there. I remember somebody would say, like, what about Javi Baez MVP? I don't know who that was, man. But what a tough scene for whomever was out there suggesting anything
said Machado.
Of the nature.
I can't remember who that was.
Was it? Yeah. Nah, nobody said that. Nobody said that.
Roll them back. Roll them back, people.
We'll be
roll them back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, making it happen on Wednesday morning. Astros, Red Sox go at it once again. Look, the Boston Red Sox would love to bounce back. Tough to do when you throw Nick Pivetta out there. How about a nice total? A 9, -120 towards the over. Oh, that looks good. Could it be? Oh, they just moved it to a -106. I'm not kidding. They just shoot moved it, -106. So people are going under. I don't know. Well, let's see what DRS has to say here. Astros, Red Sox, how do you line it up?
Yeah, Eovaldi had some good numbers yesterday heading in to play those hot bats of the Astros. Didn't work out in his favor. But if you take a look at Nick Pivetta, XFIP close to 5, which obviously isn't very good here. But if we look at a right-handed pitcher being Nick Pivetta throwing against right-handed batters, he's done well here at .288 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 100. Now, the reason why this is, you know, the lefty-righty splits make some sense here because he does struggle quite a bit, Kevin, with left-handed batters, a .363 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 184. So clearly, Pivetta, right-handed pitcher, doing very well against right-handed batters, but not so much against left-handed batters themselves. But if we take a look at the anticipated starting lineup today for those Astros, Brantley will be a lefty, Alvarez will be a lefty, and Tucker, everybody else from the right-hand side. But it's one of those things where do you just stay hot? Because if we look at the Astros lineup as a whole versus right-handed pitching, doesn't matter if it's Nick Pivetta, Max Scherzer, whoever it is, they've done very well. And this is one of those instances where we're finally starting to get close. Now, this is an exact scenario that I would like to take a team total. And no, it isn't. But if I'm looking at Altuve, a plus batter, Brantley plus, Bregman plus, Alvarez plus, so the top 4 guys, that's 4-for-4. You have Yuli Gurriel, who's a very good hitter, but just struggling against right-handed pitching this year, a .279 weighted on base percentage. But that bumps right back up to Tucker and Pena with a .356 and a .354. That's 6 total batters here that are going to be plus going up against Nick Pivetta. I would just say ride out that hot streak because that price certainly isn't too much to spend here if you're trying to take a look at taking Houston on the road. I think it makes some sense here. -138 in that -130 range. Ride the hot team here. Why not?
Yeah, people are thinking the same as you, though. That number's climbing up. At the moment, it sits at a -146, so you could try and wait it out. Yeah, but that's it's on the move, Don. You were right. That -138 was kind of the initial start there. We always talk, could you go first five? -134 on the Astros in the first five? First five run line, if you lay the half run, you obviously lose if it's tied, it's plus 106. So there's a couple of different ways you can kind of get creative and attack there. Also, it catches the ear to hear the breakdown in the Astros where at least there's a lineup that's starting to fit the mold maybe of, okay, yep, let's circle this team total, yep, right, different things of that nature. We'll see if there's some others that fit the mold. One team that you would anticipate fits the mold is the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, yesterday, though, they were shut out by the San Diego Padres there. This is... Man, it's been an interesting year for the Phils. It feels like it's been more negative than positive. They're only 2 under .500. It's an early season, and we anticipate that kind of the way they're constructed, it'll get better as the year goes on. Favored here at home with Zach Wheeler getting the baseball. When you take a look here, is this a spot for the Phils to get back into the win column?
It's a tough one. And typically, being as a handicapper, I would never bet this game, or at least bet it with a lot of money, or say this is my play of the night. Why? Because Snell is a very good pitcher, but he is coming back tonight. So we don't really have a background to see how he's going to do, how long he's going to pitch. But if you're looking from a Phillies perspective with left-handed pitching, they've done very well against him. But also keep in mind, Bryce Harper has missed the last two games now after getting the ejection into his elbow. We'll see if he comes back tonight, but in the anticipated starting lineup, he's not listed there. But having said that, let's just say if we get an average Blake Snell, you have about 6 to 7 batters in this lineup tonight that are above average with their ISO power numbers versus left-handed pitching. Hoskins a 281, Bohm a 270, Segura 242, Castellanos 212, Realmuto right on that borderline 171. Same thing with Schwarber 167, and Johan Camargo a 269. So things actually set up pretty well for that Philadelphia Phillies lineup, but as a handicapper, it's very hard to gauge what you're getting. Is this Blake Snell MVP Cy Young candidate, basically, for the Tampa Bay Rays? Or is this underperforming Blake Snell that we're getting last year? We won't know that. Same thing with Zach Wheeler. Hasn't had a great start to the season, but maybe rounding into form. He's been great against left-handed batters, and also particularly ISO power number towards righties at only 100. If the Phillies should win this game, unless you get vintage Blake Snell in this game, I'll lean towards the Phillies here.
Does vintage Blake Snell still exist is a fair question.
Yeah, it's true.
Off of injury. Yeah. It's tough to say. You know, the other thing as well, you look at Zach Wheeler, in totality, those numbers aren't great. He wasn't flawless against the Dodgers by any stretch, but again, that's a road start against the Dodgers. 5 1/3, 3 earned, 7 Ks. I think you'll take that, mm-hmm, for a lot of guys. And you look at that, his prior two starts equated to 13 2/3 innings of work with no runs allowed. And he's now got 3 straight starts of 7 strikeouts on the arm there. So Zach Wheeler's a guy that last year typically you were looking at back early season, it wasn't working out. Maybe turning the corner for Zach Wheeler as the season goes on. We go back to the New York Yankees. Again, what a tough pill to swallow. You look at that run and a half. Aroldis, they get the 2-run lead late after trailing at various points throughout that game. Aroldis Chapman might lose his job as the closer for the Yankees, which is a really interesting thing to follow there. We know it's not been all smooth sailing for him throughout his career in pinstripes. We'll see if at some point Aaron Boone makes that decision. But I don't know if anybody's laying a run and a half tonight because it's over minus 150. On the run line, it's over minus 150. How about a road, Donnie? How about a road team booked minus 260, minus 270? Again, if this game was in Yankee Stadium, we're talking minus 330 range here, probably, on the New York Yankees. What jumps out here when you're breaking down Gerrit Cole going up against the Baltimore Orioles?
Obviously, taking the favorite seems easy here is like a parlay piece with the New York Yankees, but I'm going to focus on something a little bit different. Told you yesterday, two guys which I thought would be able to hammer, Stanton and Judge. We know Judge absolutely hammered yesterday, hitting a home run, probably thought that was a good possibility, or even just getting RBIs. Now, this also pertains to today. So instead of saying, you know what, I like the Yankees, Kevin, we're going to lay a 260 price or lay the run line, which quite frankly, I still think is going to be in the minus money range, or even taking a total 8 within that new ballpark where runs are being stolen left and right nightly from that monster wall in left field now at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But if we just take a look at matchups here, that makes sense. Lyles is on the mound. Not a very good pitcher, Kevin. XFIP over 5, K percentage around 18%. Not good enough here. Now, here's the difference. Sometimes we talk about these splits. Lyles being a right-handed pitcher going up against right-handed bats, he's done well. 315 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number under 100, which is fantastic. But he's really struggled versus left-handed bats. 75 of those on the season that he's faced, Kevin, close to a 400 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number close to 300. So instead of saying, okay, I like the team total, which I do think the Yankees are going to hit tonight. There's no question. I think they stay hot here. 5-6 runs might be in their future. But if I'm looking for two guys I like, Anthony Rizzo, left-handed batter, 298 ISO power number, 380 weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. Same thing with Joey Gallo, 197 ISO power number and a 337 weighted on base percentage. If you're looking at either one to hit a home run, I think there's a legitimate chance. Either one of them to record an RBI, I think there's a legitimate chance that way. So instead of just saying to yourself, Judge and Stanton probably still are going to hit tonight, I'm going to elevate this and say, let me really maximize what Jordan Lyle doesn't do well, and that's get left-handed batters out. The focus for me tonight, Rizzo and Gallo, whether it's a parlay piece on just getting a base hit, parlay piece on getting RBIs, or even one, if not both of these guys, with a legitimate chance at hitting a home run tonight down in Baltimore.
Yeah, Anthony Rizzo's had plenty of at-bats against Lyles. He's had success there. Giancarlo Stanton is a ridiculous 7-15 with a homer and two doubles against him. That's a 467 average. DJ LeMahieu, there's a lot of guys that you could attack there. Hitter prop parlays. Heck, you want to get Joey Gallo in the mix. Here's the thing I'll say about Jordan Lyles. Saw the Yankees in his second start of the year. 5 1/3 inning, only one earned run allowed. Saw them again the next go. 4 2/3, 6 earned runs. Different Yankees ball club here. Different Yankees team, you would anticipate their ability to hit continues here. That team totals 4.5. It feels light. I haven't bet Yankees team totals. I'm done. I bet 3 Yankees team totals. They were shut out twice. So I'm good. That's not going to happen anymore. As a Yanks fan, there's just no way. I'm rocking up and watching them get shut out again. But it's something to keep in mind. Let me go to Mariners Jays here because, look, Gausman now gets the ball. This is a big opportunity, I think, for Toronto, right? The early season struggles were there. Kikuchi gave you a good start. Barrios gave you a good start. Now you anticipate it from Kevin Gausman, and so do the books. How about a minus 245 against the Seattle Mariners here for the Toronto Blue Jays? But a big total at an 8. So they're expected to hit, and Gausman's expected to dazzle here. That makes that run line, even if it's minus 118, jump off a little bit on the Toronto side. I'm sure it'll be a popular play tonight. What do you think here with Gausman getting the ball versus the Mariners?
Yeah, Toronto's probably going to stack some right-handed batters tonight here against Marco Gonzalez, the tumbling left-handed pitcher. But if we take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays, look at the last 4 performances out of their pitching staff. 1 run, 3 runs, 2 runs, and 0 runs. And you're probably going to get much more of the same today when you take a look at Gausman. He's been absolutely sensational. 2.71 xFIP number, strikeout percentage 31%, walk percentage 1%. And take a look at the lefty-righty splits here. 187 to lefties, weighted on base percentage to righties. That's 269. ISO power number, minimal, 040 and 062. And if we take a look at that lineup here that comes to town here for the Mariners, hasn't done that well. If they couldn't touch Kikuchi, they couldn't touch Barrios, good luck touching Gausman today, because if we look at how they set up against right-handed pitching, and they can throw quite a bit of lefties in that lineup, probably, good. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 are probably going to go tonight. But the issue is nobody hits here. ISO power numbers for those 9 starters, Kevin, only 1. Eugenio Suarez at a 277. Everybody else well below average. Good luck getting base hits tonight for the Mariners. Maybe, again, one of those, you don't want to spend minus 245 on Toronto. Seems like a pretty good parlay piece. Or if not, just try to match up that first 5-inning run line here to try to get it closer to that minus 130, minus 120 juice number. But if I'm using the Toronto Blue Jays today, just throwing them in a parlay piece. They should win.
So here, again, I always love stuff like this, right? So the biggest favorite on the board is neither the Yankees or the Blue Jays, who we've talked about, right? You were to parlay those two, you're at a minus 108, which I'm sure a lot of people would be fine with. The biggest favorite on the board, it's Walker Buehler against the Arizona Diamondbacks at home. It's a minus 295. You put the three of them together, it's almost a plus 160. It's plus 158. I always look at that and go, oh, man, one of you is going to lose. Who will it be? Maybe not. But it'll be an interesting scene to follow. Up next,
nobody
though,
yanks.
Warriors. Warriors, Mavs. Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid, it's Mavs, and it is the Dubs, man. Excited for this. It's the Western Conference Finals. Before we get to the game number one lines, let me just ask you this quickly, because we talked about some of the player-specific markets, right? Most made threes, popular parlays that's offered here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But we didn't talk, you know, series price or correct score. The Warriors are a minus 230 favorite to win this series. It books Dallas then at plus 185. If you like them, the shortest number when we talk about series correct score is Golden State in 5 at plus 310. The next number is then Golden State in 7 at plus 340. Does any of this interest you before game number one? Do you find yourself having conviction on how far this series goes or who's going to win it?
I was on with Gabe and Cam last night and talking about, you know, forget about taking a side in the series. If you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Golden State Warriors a minus 230 price to win the series. Do I think they can? Of course I can. But the one thing that I've sort of mismanaged here on my end is the Dallas Mavericks and actually how good they are on the defensive end, which means you can stay in just about every game. And if Luka Doncic never has a bad game, you're going to be in it, and these series are going to be long. So if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and we try to match up here, series total games, 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games, I would say to myself, I like to take a piece of game six, that it goes to game six, at a plus 200, and do the same thing with game seven at a plus 200. I really think that if we're taking a look at this series overall, and trying to match up what these teams do well, well, playing good basketball for 1 year. So if I'm looking at this series to try to make money, instead of just taking the Warriors at a minus 230 price or the Mavericks here at a plus 185 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I'm going to line up and say, I think this series is going to go the distance here. And quite frankly, if I'm looking to bet this series myself here, Kevin, and forget about saying, okay, game one, 5-point line, let's see who wins. I do think the Golden State Warriors probably going to win this game tonight. But then again, I've seen everything out of the Mavericks that has shown me wrong all throughout. But if I'm betting it from, let's just say, I want to take the Mavericks here. I'm not betting them tonight, Kevin. I'm not betting them in game two. I'm going to wait for them to be down 0-2, and then they can work their magic here and get back in that series where maybe by the time game seven comes around or game six, you could have a decent hedge opportunity here. The point is here, not wiping out the Dallas Mavericks to start this series. I don't want to take them just quite yet, but I do think, Kevin, we're going to go at least 6 or 7 games here.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, look, so the Mavs plus a game and a half is minus 124. What does that look like if they lose this opening game, right? That's a number you're going to be interested in. I'm curious how much of an overreaction could come from tonight's game. If it's Golden State, maybe it's Golden State big. Could you get 2.5 games on Dallas? That right now is minus 265. You go to 2.5 games at a minus 130 range, I think those are numbers that become interesting. Keep this in mind, by the way, when you're evaluating this Dallas Mavericks postseason, they have not lost a home game with Luka Doncic so far. Their home, right? So their one home loss came game number one of this playoffs, and it was to the Utah Jazz without Luka. I think that's relevant to the conversation when we're trying to, you know, really cut through who was great, who was there, and who wasn't. I think all of that really matters. Here's the other interesting thing, though. Dallas was able to hang with Golden State all year long. They won 3 out of the 4 matchups between these two. You made me bet this preseries. I think I would take the Dallas Mavericks. I know, I haven't been as impressed by the Golden State Warriors as everybody else here. I think Golden State has a good opportunity to get off on the right foot here in game one in the same way that the Miami Heat did. But look, man, Dallas is riding high. I got to tell you, you know, we talk about the fatigue, right, that the Boston Celtics had. Luka Doncic didn't play a single second of the fourth quarter against the Phoenix Suns. I got to tell you, folks, did they look tired to you? They look like they were just having the time of their lives out there against the Suns. Let's talk about tonight's game. The Golden State Warriors are a 5-point favorite. Total here is 214.5. I know that Golden State has it. Man, and I hope I don't end up chasing my tail again. My thought process, though, is to back Dallas within this series. I think they're going to take one of these two opening games here in Golden State. Maybe tonight, again, it's an avalanche from the Warriors off of the rest. Maybe so, but I'm leaning towards Dallas and the points.
If I'm looking at this game, Kevin, and maybe you can take a little bit of what you saw last night, right? Because you see those longer series, one series wraps it up, you're staying at home, you have more of a time to try to, you know, decompress, start that scouting report on the other team while they're still playing. I think you might have that tonight. And now here's the way I would like to go. The Dallas Mavericks here, do I think they can win this game? They're a really good basketball team. They beat already the number one seed and took care of business there and took care of them where they didn't have home court advantage. But if I'm trying to line up this series, the Dallas Mavericks didn't play all that well in games 1-2 previous series versus the Phoenix Suns, and rebounded and only had to end up winning one game on the road because they handled their home business. But looking at this game tonight, do you think there's a chance, Kevin, that we see the Dallas Mavericks down 10 points at the break and they storm the fort in the second half in San Francisco and end up winning this game? For me, I don't see that here. So if I'm betting from a Dallas Mavericks perspective for myself, I look first quarter or even first half, because if I see the Dallas Mavericks with a 5 or 6 point lead at the break, legitimate chance they can win it, but they can still lose this game. And also, you can see the Golden State Warriors come over the top and win the game and also cover the 5 point line here. So if I'm back in the Dallas Mavericks and I want to play that angle tonight, I can only look in the first half. Adrenaline comes out here. Maybe you play well to start, and maybe your legs give out in the second half like they did typically there for the Boston Celtics. That's the way I would look. So if I'm betting the Dallas Mavericks tonight, it's first half only for DRS.
I think that makes sense. I think Dallas has offered up some resiliency, but, man, they had times where were close with Phoenix early, and then Phoenix pulled away. So I don't mind that approach at all. We talk about the props market here in this game, and you mentioned something to me last series, and it stuck with me, but Steph at home has been a different player during this postseason. First game of the playoffs, he was off the bench. He scored 16 points. Ever since then, he's been over what is a 27.5 number tonight. And that includes another game off of the bench where he had 34. Here are his home games since then. 34, 30, 30, 32, 29. Steph has been automatic when playing in Golden State. The volume is there as well. Steph's a guy that automatically jumps out if we're going to be playing in Golden State tonight. Where are you looking in the props?
You know, it's funny, the prop market there. I did cash in on the last game that the Golden State Warriors did play at home, where I took Steph as an over 3.5 from 3-point range, because you're right, at home, it seems like it's clicking here. And if I'm going to get multiple per quarter, you probably could say here, if I'm going to get double-digit three-point shots here out of Steph Curry, you take the chances that he's going to make four of them, and you're lining them up tonight. The juice is a little bit heavier. It's 3.5 at a minus 146 price, when previously it was at a minus 145 price in the closeout game against the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the way I would look here. When I like these home props here, particularly with Klay Thompson, or if I'm taking a look at Steph Curry, or even if you try to dabble in the Jordan Poole, is a 1.5, but that's a minus 174 price. A little bit juicy there. Give me Steph tonight. I think Steph shows out, and I would not be surprised if it's one of those games where, again, he has 3 3-pointers or more at the break. He need one in the second half to take it down. I think Steph gets in. And how about this? You know, early in the season, when we were, you know, going around, well, what makes sense here with Steph Curry before he was going to break that 3-point prop, you know, three-point record? It's like, man, he's over at 5.5, 6 3-pointers he needs to make it. Now you just need 4, and I think he gets the job done here. I do.
Yeah, it's more than understandable. I think my favorite number that I saw so far is the Dallas Mavericks point guard off of the bench, Spencer Dinwiddie. Number's 11.5. Dinwiddie started to find himself in a bit of a groove last two games, 15 in Game 6 versus Phoenix, 30 in Game 7, we know that. He played two games against the Golden State Warriors in a Dallas uniform this year, both of them off the bench, 24 in one game, 17 in another. Dallas needs Spencer Dinwiddie to be legit off of the bench. I think he will be. I think there's going to be volume. I think I have a little bit of a cushion. If it is a blowout as a bench player, Dinwiddie should still get at least a 25-minute workload, I think, in this basketball game. 11.5, I understand why that's the number, but I take his recent performances, what he did against Golden State in a Dallas uniform, and I got to think over 11.5 for Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, and how about this, too? Spencer Dinwiddie, past two games here, right? 10 combined made three-point shots. A carbon copy, Kevin. 5 of 7, rather by 5 of 7 from three-point range. You could do a lot of damage here and score a lot of points if you're filling it up that way here. So let me just take a look here quickly at the FanDuel Sportsbook, what he lines up. Do we have a three-point prop? Yes, we do. Over 1.5, minus 146. How many times have you seen me talk about riding that hot hand? There's no way Dinwiddie's heading into this game going, hey, made 10 three-pointers combined over the past two games. Let me shoot two of them in this game. If he's going to shoot 5-plus three-point shots, there's a really good chance, Kevin, he's making over 1.5, a little bit juicy at 146. But certainly, if you're looking in that direction, for him to get 12 points in this game, he's got to make 2 3-pointers, right? That's probably what we're figuring.
Fair enough, minus 146. You would think that would be the case there. In the sample size that I'm referencing, by the way, the Obviously, the last two games are Phoenix, but also he was 2-for-4 in each of the two games versus Golden State. So it's not a huge sample size, but it does line up. We'll get to the Luka numbers in just a second here. Let me ask you this: as far as we talk about bench scores, are we done with Jordan Poole? What's the deal? Number 16.5 last three games of that series: 14-3-12. Minutes starting to decrease a little bit in the series as well. Is the pool party over?
I think the pool party might be over. And didn't it feel like it was too good to be true? Like, now hold on here. Golden State's going to go into the playoffs, and they're going to find another 30-point scorer off of the bench that can provide that. And the jokes that we were rolling around, like, hey, Jordan Poole, you think you should be starting over Steph Curry? Basically, like, yeah, I should be, because I think I'm a better basketball player. It's nice to have that ability coming off the bench. But the pool party, as you said, even though it's going to get hot here in the Northeast this weekend, I don't know how hot it is out there on the West Coast for Jordan Poole.
But again, and look, 16.5, it's a lower number. Does he have the ability to go wild for a game? Sure. But Jordan Poole shot it at 36% from three during the regular season. In that series against Denver, he shot at 45%. It's obviously not sustainable. He was under 30% versus the Memphis Grizzlies. So, yeah, he lands somewhere in the middle of that. But, again, the idea that Jordan Poole was just, if Jordan Poole scores 25 a night, who's beating the Warriors? Nobody. But he's not going to score 25 a night. Obviously, that's not going to continue. Let's get to Luka. It's very comparable to Giannis, because you see the numbers and you go, oh, my goodness. How could you ever possibly bet the over on this? And then you go, but am I really going to watch this game with an under ticket on a Luka Doncic? How about 33.5? Points. How about a rebound number at 9.5 with -124 juice to the over? 7.5 assists. That checks in at -140 to the over. And then the almighty points, rebounds, and assists, 51.5. Where are you leaning with these Luka Doncic props, game number one against the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, just like for your own sanity, you're generally trying to take overs with Luka Doncic because of the numbers that he can put up. But you have to remember, like, those numbers are astronomically high. Like, hey, he's putting rebounds and assists. 51.5, 50 in that range. Yeah, he could do that. And you think about it and put the numbers together in your head, like, he's going to have to absolutely go off. But every game, it seems like he goes off here. Also, maybe even take a look at a three-point prop at the 33.5 sticks out here. Last night I said, Jason Tatum, 27.5, which turned into 26.5, and probably even right around lower, maybe some juice at game time. He still ended up getting over that total. Like, Luka Doncic going over 30. Like, they could get blown out. They could score 90 points in this game, and Luka can still have 35 points. That's how crazy it is. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to be insane because this game starts way too late for DRS that I don't have to watch the second half. Luka Doncic under. How about that?
I got to go the other way. He's just unstoppable.
Way too late.
Like, there is – yeah, so you can't wait to wake up and figure it out. Look, Luka has been that good. And, by the way, he's been that good on the road. How about his road performances versus Phoenix? 45, 35, 28, 35. So, the story with him during the regular season was trying to back him when he's in Dallas. Doesn't matter now. This guy's global, and this guy's unstoppable. Expect another big night from Luka Doncic. Listen up. Closes out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early line on a Wednesday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrights along with Kevin Walsh, and you know us. We set the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next few hours to continue the rest of the day on the grid. Now, tonight, we have another conference final starting up in the Western Conference. It's going to be exciting stuff here between Luka Doncic going head-to-head with the Splash Brothers. But I got to tell you something here. We need to be talking about Jimmy Buckets and the Heatles. So listen up. The disrespect is real, right? It feels real disrespectful for the Miami Heat. Why? Because they were the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. not given much of a chance to, I guess, get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and a chance to match up in the NBA Finals. But here we are entering yesterday, and before the news came down that Marcus Smart with a midfoot sprain was not going to play in that game, or Al Horford came down with COVID conditions here and knocked him out of that game, we had a line of -1.5 for the Miami Heat in that game. And oh yeah, how about for the series itself? A hefty favorite here for the Boston Celtics at a -175 price. You say to yourself, did the series already start? What did I miss? Is Boston up 2-0 already? And you saw yesterday in that game, starts out, Jason Tatum is hot. 21 points in the first half. Oh my goodness. Look at the Celtics here. Rightfully so, should be favored in the series. And the bottom dropped out in the third quarter, leading to a double-digit victory here for the Heat. Whatever ticket you had, 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, or 5, they all cashed in. And Jimmy Buckets is a big reason for that. Look at the playoffs here. Averaging close to 38 minutes per game, 30 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, and 5 assists. He's been absolutely sensational here, and rightfully so. He's built for this. Playing minutes, you know, over routinely, 41 minutes, 43 minutes, 42 minutes, continuously here. You need a guy that you can lean on. We know the Heat are a great organization overall. They can get it done, but give some respect to the Miami Heat. Stay tuned for Ben Stephens in the morning after, right here on The Grid.